Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth drama.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. Now, of course, want you to holler at me. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. And if you're ghost listening, like I know some of y'all do, feel free to jump to the chat room. Questions, comments, concerns, I want to hear from you. As well as, you know, email me, smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. I always like to hear from you. And if you say something insightful, I will say something insightful back to you because I'm a nice guy like that. Ask somebody. They'll tell you. They'll say, you know what? Smooth is all right. I don't care what everybody else say about him. He is good to me. And if you're one of them people that's talking about me, I love you anyway. You know I'm saying this because I'm feeling kumbaya right now. But about 20 minutes from now, all that's going to go away. Anyway, Facebook group, social media with me. Go to the Smooth Drama Facebook group. Twitter, just Google Smooth Drama. Wherever you find Smooth Drama, add me. I'll add you back and we can talk taste on it. Also, once again, we are still advertising the Anton Marks giveaway. So if you go to AntonMarks.com, if you want a copy of his new book, Last Prince of Akiva Line, email him and write Smooth Drama in your email, and he will hook you up with a free copy of the book because he's looking out for folks that listen to the Smooth Drama Show. That's how we do it here. Because he's a nice guy. I wouldn't give you my book for free, but that's just me. I'm money grabbing. I don't have as much money as Anton, so I'm going to charge you. Anyway, I'm lying. I wouldn't. Well, I don't know, maybe. It depends. Well, I talk to you for free every night. So if you're grateful, well, I guess I'm grateful that you listen. And if you're nice enough to listen to me, I guess I can talk to you free. I guess. Anyway, woke up and there was apparently it's a big deal to everybody this weekend. Tiger Woods was asleep at the wheel of his car. He was arrested and charged with driving under the influence. Only thing was, he maintains that alcohol was not involved. And, you know, the officers like, Woods had extremely slow and slurred speech. He was cooperative but confused. And so he blew on the breathalyzer. And he blew zeros. So I was like, well, damn, is there a story? I mean, is there really a story if you charge him with DUI, but he blew zeros? What is he under the influence of? Anyway, I was like, oh, that's a story. No, it's not. So I'm going to talk about a story that's more important than Tiger Woods. Bullying online. There's a study that says, and it was carried out by an anti-bullying charity that found 57% of the young people it surveyed had experienced bullying online when playing games. In addition, 22% said they stopped playing games as a result. Yeah. Now, I'm talking about this is more important than Tiger Woods, even though I'm being facetious. I mean, Tiger Woods wasn't important to me because he hurt no one. No one got hit or killed or anything like that. And online bullying, can you really be bullied online? I mean, I guess you can, but, you know, as somebody who's been a talk show host for about 8 years, 8, 9 years now, I've been called the N-word. I've been called all kinds of things online. I've crank called Bubba from the Backwoods Show. I mean, I've had all kinds of folks call in and say crazy stuff. And maybe it's just me. Maybe I have a stronger constitution. Maybe because I didn't feel like I was being bullied, even though folks was calling me all kinds of names. It's like, okay, I just hang up. I know words hurt, I guess, but the fact that somebody's calling me names on the internet, you're a monkey, you're a little monkey, or whatever they want to say, I'm like, but I'm kicking your ass at the game. I think that's kind of it. I've never understood the whole I'm being bullied online unless they knew where I was. Because if you live in Turkey and I'm in Oakland, yeah, unless you're a hacker of report and you can go in on and mess up my life, yeah, I'm not really too worried about you. Good luck with your bullying. But hey, that's just me. I saw something else that I thought was probably a tad bit more important than Tiger Woods sleep in his car. Jessica Gomez of San Bernardino County filed a class action lawsuit against the Jelly Bean Company, Jelly Belly. She claims that the company attempted to mask how much sugar was in its sports bean energizing jelly beans by labeling sugar as evaporated cane juice on the list of ingredients. According to Ms. Gomez, the term evaporated cane juice is false or misleading because it suggests that the sweetener is juice or is made from juice. It does not reveal that its basic nature and characterizing properties are those of a sugar. Because apparently there is no juice there's no sugar in juice. I thought juice had sugar in it, but I've been wrong this whole time in my life. And I'm gonna make a confession. I'm gonna come out the closet with it. Can you come out the closet if you was never in the closet? I have what people call sperm. I don't have sperm. I have evaporated cane juice. It's what I shoot out. It's not really. It's like it's a sweetener. It's like juice. I didn't mean to mislead anyone. So if you knew me and I said it was sperm, I wasn't trying to misrepresent. I didn't think you would have understood if I had said, let me spray you with my evaporated cane juice. It just doesn't sound quite as kinky as spray you with my chocolate milk or something like that. I spray evaporated cane juice. That's what I do. And I'm sorry. I know I need help with my evaporated cane juice spraying addiction. And after this show, I'm going into rehab. So this will be my last show for Oh, that was really dumb. I'm just going to go into the drug of the week. Drug of the week is Traceba. What does Traceba do? Traceba is supposed to lower your blood sugar. Now, you know why I always talk about the drug of the week? Because the side effects are always way worse than what they were supposed to fix. I mean, it's like yeah, it's supposed to lower your blood sugar so that you'll be good to go. And they say all the right things and everybody's smiling in the commercial. But it's obvious that they're smiling in the commercial because they have not taken Traceba. Because if they took Traceba, they ass would not be smiling. Case in point, what are some of the possible side effects of Traceba? Traceba may cause serious side effects that can lead to death, including low blood sugar, dizziness or lightheadedness, sweating, confusion, fast heartbeat, blurred vision, slurred speech, shakiness, anxiety, irritability, or mood changes, hunger, headache. Yeah, that's just the first part. Oh, low potassium in your blood, which is a term, hypokalemia. Also, heart failure. That's not hurtful. And if you're on insulin, your insulin dose may need to change because of change in level of physical activity or exercise, weight gain or loss, increased stress, illness, change in diet. Other side effects of Traceba may include serious allergic reaction, as in whole body reactions. Reactions at the injection site, skin thickening or pits at the injection site, which is a term called lipodystrophy, itching, rash swelling of your hands and feet, and weight gain. Yeah, awesome. Oh, also, get medical help if you have trouble breathing, shortness of breath, fast heartbeat, swelling of your face, tongue, or throat, sweating, extreme drowsiness, dizziness, or confusion. So, yeah. Traceba. That is the drug of the week. It's a drug that you can learn to love and lower your blood sugar. Now, you know, once you get past all those side effects I just named, you will have low blood sugar. You may die. Your face may swell. You may gain a little weight. Your tongue might be a little bigger. I don't know. Swelling of your tongue, is that like good or bad? I guess it depends on who you are and what kind of oral sex you engage in. Because if you have a fat tongue, it could be good or bad. I don't know. Fat tongue would make a difference. Anyway. Traceba. It sounds like a very, very special drug. One that you probably should avoid at all costs. But hey, what do I know? I'm just a dude who just reads about the side effects on the radio. And on that note, well, technically it's not the radio, it's the internet. And I may or may not be being bullied right now, so I'm going to go on break, and I'm going to determine whether or not I'm being bullied and whether or not I need to stop the show because I'm scared of my potential bullying. On that note, this is Big Daddy Kane. Ain't no half-stepping.
Cause 88, time to set it straight, you know what I'm saying? And there ain't no half-stepping. Word, I'm ready. Rapper stepping to me, they want to get some. But I'm the Kane, so yo, you know the outcome. I'm not the victory, they can't get with me. So pick a BC day, cause you're history. I'm the authentic poet to get lyrical. For you to beat me, it's gonna take a miracle. And stepping to me, yo, that's the wrong move. So what you want, huh? Dope a dog, dope a dog, competition. I just devour. Like a pit bull against a chihuahua. When it comes to being dope, hot damn, I got it good. Now let me tell you who I am. The B-I-G-G-A-D-D-Y-K-A-N-E. Dramatic, Asiatic, not like many. I'm different, so don't compare me to another. Cause they can't hang, word to the mother. At least I fit the principle in this pedigree. So when I roll on your rappers, you better be ready to die because you're petty. You're just a butter knife, I'm a machete. The same box didn't you wait until when you drive the front. Chop into your body. Just because you try to be basing Friday the 13th, I'ma play Jason. Look at my joke, that game puzzle a riddle. The name is Big Daddy, yes, big, not little, so define it. Hand your walking papers, sign it, and take a walk. As the Kane start to talk, cuz
together like letter man. Now that's dedication. Proceeding to my
innovation. It's not like the other MCs that are an imitation or an animation, a cartoon at least. But when I'm finished, I'm sure that you are soon to see reality. My secret technique, because I always speak with mentality. I put my title in your face, dare you to face it. If you try to come get it, yo, I'ma show you who's weak. But if you know like I know, instead of messing around, play like Roy Rogers and slow down. Take yourself a break, or someone else will take your title. Namely me, because I'm homicidal. That means murder.
Together you got to move, drummer, smooth drummer.
Welcome back to Smooth Drum with your host, Mr. F the N Word. That was Big Daddy Kane. Ain't no half stepping. 347-826-7435 is the call in number. Once again, that call in number is 347-826-7435. All right. Now, if you've heard me talk on the show, I've talked about this opioid epidemic. It's like it's an opioid epidemic. It's crazy. There's a heroin opioid epidemic, and I'm like, man, I must be running in the wrong circles. No, because I mean I've seen it online, right? And, you know, if it's online, it's definitely true. We know that it doesn't get online unless it's 500% true. I mean, and it's a big deal. You know, it's like the opioid crisis is so all-encompassing. I don't know. It's everywhere. Everywhere I go, everywhere I turn, it's like, oh man, you see signs of the opioid crisis. It's just heroin is everywhere. It's overtaking the streets. I'm in the wrong street. I'm around and I don't see it. The heroin epidemic, it's like totally missing me. And then I thought, because you see it, and it's a big deal, and it's like, how am I missing the heroin epidemic? And then I thought, man, I do not live in the suburbs. It's just, that's what it is. It's like the Far Side. She keeps on passing me by because I'm not in the neighborhood that she's driving by. Lady Heron, she just don't live around here. So imagine my I'm looking at this heroin epidemic, and I found that on the Huffington Post, heroin epidemic has its own tab. So it's got to be big. Because it has its own tab. Because, you know, on there they've got black voices, Latino voices. You think they've got weird news, good news. They've got all these tabs. And heroin epidemic has its own tab. So, I went in there. I'm going in. I have my helmet on. I have my gloves on. You know, you got to be ready when you go into where the heroin is, because it's obviously it's a big deal. And I saw that Congress just dropped $1 billion. $1 billion. And this is because they Congress allocated $1 billion to address the opioid epidemic. The House and Senate Republicans agreed over the weekend on a final version of the 21st Century Cures Act. And it's one of the last bills on the table before the new Congress is sworn in this January. Apparently, it's been 3 years in the making. I haven't heard of it, but apparently it's there. And the 21st Century Cures is designed, as they call it, a broad investment in medical research and development at the National Institute of Health and U.S. Food and Drug Administration, coupled with loosening of bureaucratic red tape and regulatory restrictions, meaning they're going to do some illegal stuff, and now they're not going to get in trouble for it, meaning they're going to experiment on poor people. And when it's found that it's messing, whatever they're doing was messing up poor people, they're not liable because, hey, they loosened the restrictions and there's no red tape, meaning there's no one that's going to sue them for it. yeah, because apparently death from opioid overdoses have continued to rise in many communities across the country. I mean, they make it sound like crack. Remember when crack was rampant? And it was just everywhere, and Reagan had a war on drugs, and, you know, while Nancy was saying, this is your brain on drugs, she's doing them commercials, Reagan was war on drugs, like, you got to stop it. We got to stop it. And they put everybody in jail that had anything to do with crack, even though he brought it in to the country and was selling it. But at least he was putting them in jail after he gave them the drug. But I digress. Yeah. There were no billion-dollar deals. There were crime bills, you know. Reagan did the war on drugs, and he allocated toward law enforcement. And Clinton, after him, did the Crime Act, which, of course, the three strikes and put many folks away. And now we're humanitarian. There's, I saw, it made me cuss, the Addiction Network, where you can call up and someone will talk to you and you can find, you know, because this crisis is so big, and once again, it's so all-encompassing, and it's engaging our lives every day at an ungodly rate. Something has to happen. I mean, I keep missing it, and I don't know anyone who is really being affected, but that's, once again, because I am not in the suburbs, and I don't know too many people who live in the suburbs, so, but we've got a bill, and earlier this month, Senators Gene Shaheen and Ed Markey began a push to include opioid-related funding in this 21st Century Cures legislation. And as they were doing so, they were reminding lawmakers that Congress has yet to help states contain the growing crisis. And, I mean, last week they were joined by Senators Tammy Baldwin, a Democrat out of Wisconsin, and Joe Donnelly, a Democrat out of Indiana. And in the letter urging Senator Majority Leader Mitch McConnell from Kentucky and Minority Leader Harry Reid from Nevada to take action. Now, I am naming all of these states that, for lack of a better word, not a lot of black people live in them states. Gene Shaheen is a representative out in New Hampshire. Ed Markey's in Massachusetts. Donnelly is in Indiana. Baldwin's in Wisconsin. Reed is in Nevada. And of course, McConnell is in Kentucky. Yeah, these are all the people who were at the forefront of this bill. Yeah, they have one opponent, which is Elizabeth Warren, and she said it's because it's lobby, it's leaning towards fundings for big pharmaceuticals, which of course we know that's who's doing the research. You're researching the stuff that you put out on the street. I mean, it's kind of what we do. You have, whenever somebody cheats, you let them do the investigation and see what they conclude off of what they've done wrong. It's like I do something wrong and I get to investigate it. And then I'll tell you, like, hey, you know what? Check this out. Man, I didn't shave my balls. I didn't use deodorant for at least a week. And I'm sorry. It may have smelled like I went longer, but it was only a week. I mean, because this is what we're talking about here. Somebody, you get to do research on the effects of what you've caused. And they just signed this bill, this 21st Century Cures legislation that is going to hook you up with the funding so that you can find out what you did wrong. You already know what you did wrong in the first place. It's weird that that's what's happened. And, I mean, you know, listeners, please. Somebody tell me how the opioid crisis has affected you. I mean, I'm just curious. Somebody email me, smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. Tell me how the opioid crisis has affected you in your neighborhood, and how you don't feel safe in your hood to go out. Yeah. Just hook me up, or if you're in the chat room, please jump in. Tell me what you think. I'm curious as to what people think of this. And while you're thinking about that, there was another bill that was passed. A couple of them, actually, under the Back the Blue Act, which was introduced a couple of weeks ago on May 16th by Senator John Cornyn of Texas and Representative Ted Poe from Texas in the House, suing cops in federal court for violating the constitutional rights of civilians will be limited. The bill introduced in the Senate states that individuals who are engaged in felonies or crimes of violence would be blocked from receiving damages for any violations that occurred during any action brought against a judicial officer for an act or omission taken in the judicial capacity of that officer. So, and here it is in a nutshell, even if the individual can prove their rights were violated by an officer, police departments would be able to claim that an individual's injuries were a result of the person's conduct, which, to quote the bill, more likely than not constituted a felony or a crime of violence. It would also treat assault on a police officer leading to bodily harm as a federal crime, carrying a minimum of 2 to 10 years in prison, depending on if the harm was minor, substantial, or serious. And if a weapon was used during the assault, the charge would carry a 20-year mandatory minimum regardless of the harm inflicted on the officer. So, yeah. And, you know, you look at it and you say, all right, black folks, resisting arrest just took on a whole nother, you know, thing. Like, if you're at a demonstration, political demonstration, as y'all know, we call them fighting for our freedom, like, please stop shooting us thing. A police officer attempts to restrain you, and you make a movement that the officer interprets as threatening. A minor trespassing or disturbing the peace charge will be upgraded to assault. Also, whether or not you were engaged in felonies, you could be hit with a federal charge and possible federal prison time without the option to seek damages for a civil rights violation. Because this law would also make it a federal offense to murder, attempt to murder, or conspire to murder a federal judge, a first responder, or a state or local law enforcement official who works for any agency that receives federal funding. So, and if you're found guilty, you would face a mandatory minimum of 30 years in prison. Yep. So yeah, there you go. You sue, you won't be able to sue. It'd be really rough, and you can't. I mean, this is so serious. If you make a movement that the police find threatening, and now when you think of the things that the police have found threatening when it comes to black folks, running away from the police has been found threatening and has gotten brothers shot. Laying on the ground with your arms and your legs up has been found threatening to the police and has gotten a brother shot. Standing in front of the officer complying has been found threatening. And has led to a brother being shot. Walking towards the officer in a calm or standing still has been found as threatening to officers and has gotten brothers killed. So, a threatening act. Shit, I don't know. I mean, because a threatening act or movement is it's anything nowadays. I mean, if I raise my eyebrow, that could be misconstrued as threatening and get me shot. That's where we at. You know, so when they say it has to be that the officer interprets it as threatening, I could be charged with assault for not moving, standing there, or running away from the officer, or falling on the ground and putting my hands up on the ground like, please don't shoot me. That is threatening. I can get an assault for that. I can get an assault charge for that. Because that's basically what's going to happen now. I mean, because we've seen countless brothers choked out, shot, killed for whatever. Just trying not to get shot. and you got shot. So, yeah, this bill coming out of Texas, even though it's redundant, and most states have this these statutes, they are trying to make it a law so that they can shoot and kill you, harm you, and then charge you and get away with it. That way they don't have to worry about, you know, charges, whatever, because that is what they do. And on that note, man, I'm impressed myself. I'm going to need to go on break and get my boogie on. This is Pete Rock and CL Smooth. One in a million.
One in a million, oh, for your baby. One in a million, listen and try. One in a million, oh, for your baby. One in a million, listen and try. One in a million, oh, for your baby. One in a million, listen and try. One in a million, oh, for your baby. One in a million, listen and try. One in a million, from the Vernonville, I work it out and wait to get curls. I made it sell more joints than we are the world. Flows and old bros and new flows. I'm hoping it close shows so never those attention. The Mac is representing the uptown, jazz town, and chicks start mingling. Now let's watch a flick by John Singleton. Deep Rock and Cleo Smooth is in the Mecca House building. Cause this funk is one in a million.
One in a million,
like the mob every single day. 93 no shorts, music is my sport. The hot metal's on my waist, brother, here's a tape. In your face to face, chilling like a mass villain. Nobody better, cause we're one in a million.
One in a million, we come
we are.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drummer with your host, Mr. F the N Word. That was Pete Rock and CL Smooth. One in a million. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. Now, of course, we come to that part of the show where I get up on my soapbox and I get to talk about this, that, and the other. Well, actually, I just talk about Groundhog Day. Y'all know how I feel.
That shit happened again? Oh, hell no.
Speaking of that shit happening again, oh, hell no. Groundhog Day. What is Groundhog Day? But that thing that happens again and again and again every day. Just doesn't matter. Whatever, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, love Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, only they love. It is all hate. Groundhog Day. What is today's Groundhog Day? Well, a bullet test clears a Detroit man in prison since 1992. Desmond Ricks, who was freed last Friday on the 26th. The judge threw out the second-degree murder conviction of Ricks, who accused police of framing him with bogus evidence 25 years ago. Well, finally, the judge threw out the murder conviction after new tests on the bullet supported his claim that the police framed him. He will be released from prison in Western Michigan. The Innocence Clinic at the University of Michigan Law School asked Judge Richard Scott to reopen the case after prosecutors turned over photos of two bullets removed from Jerry Bennett. The bullets were in poor shape and didn't resemble the pristine bullets that were presented as evidence by Detroit police in 1992. Police at that time said a gun belonging to Rick's mother was the murder weapon, but new tests now have ruled out any connection. One of the bullets doesn't match the gun, and the other bullet was too mutilated for a thorough analysis. Yeah. 25 years ago. 25 years ago. Now, for some, it's not that big of a deal, right? But you think, I'm not guilty. And you would... the police would try to get the right killer. I mean, that's what we see on TV. I mean, with the, in my words, y'all know my word, plethora of cop shows on TV. Lord knows every channel has at least two. At least two. Every channel, ABC, CBS, NBC, it's cops. Everywhere, every type of cop show that you can imagine, and they always work real hard to get the real killer. They don't have a lot of shows where they show the police fabricating evidence and putting false bullets in there so that they can frame somebody. It just, that show never, I've been waiting on that show. I know you have too, but I've been waiting on that show. I haven't seen it yet. I'm still waiting on it. Because normally when they frame somebody or they collude against someone, they are guilty as hell. Only this dude, Desmond Ricks, who 25 years ago was 26 years old, was living life. Life was good. What happened? he got put in jail. As he said, I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. I had nothing to do with this. They switched the bullets on me. Yeah. They switched the bullets on me. Just so they can put somebody in jail. Life is just not that important. Groundhog Day. Because what? I can pull one of these cases every day. I mean, this was one of three Groundhog Day cases that I could have pulled. It's like there's no shortage of these type cases, which is why it's Groundhog Day, because it's every day. You see something like this, or you hear something like this happening. Can't pay. I mean, he may even get some money, but can you give somebody back 25 years? No. That's 25 years of. And I know for me, maybe it's minor, but I'm just as the big lesbian that I am. You start thinking, man. All the lesbian experiences I could have been enjoying, 25 years of just you and another dude dropping deuces in the cell with each other. Or 25 years of enriching lesbian experiences. Which one would I choose? All right. And speaking of choices, the choice. There's a guy, 61-year-old Larry Allen. Larry Allen Tovey. Let me make sure I get the whole name. Larry Allen Tovey was a hitchhiker. Hitchhikers, it's not really, hitchhikers are a dime a dozen. If you pick one up, you're crazy. And this one, if you had picked him up, you'd been really crazy, because he was standing out there hitchhiking in a clown suit with a machete, with a quote-unquote bloody machete. On Highway 101, so Monterey County Sheriff's Office arrived on the scenes with their guns drawn. They handcuffed him, questioned him, and released him. And I quote, "The guy wasn't charged because he didn't have a victim that was threatened by him with the machete," the department wrote on Facebook, adding that the blood on the knife was just cotton with red dye. And since a machete is technically a tool and not classified as a weapon, it's not a crime to carry one in public unless it's being used in a threatening manner. Now, it stands to reason he may have threatened someone, but we don't have any information on that, the sheriff's office wrote. So we may not rest on what he might have done. Now, I just talked about last segment with the new bill, what was threatening and what was not threatening. Right? Now, you may or may not take a guess on the ethnicity of Mr. Larry Allen Tovey. You may have taken that educated guess that he was Caucasian. You may have made that assumption. Why? Because he has a machete with a clown outfit hitchhiking on the freeway. And the police showed up with guns drawn. And hey, they handcuff him, take him down, and then let him go. And said that a machete is technically a tool. Now, yeah, I'm not going to say I'm the repairman or anything or that stretch of the imagination. I've got tools. I've got the pipe for the toilet. I've got grip pliers. I've got wrenches. I've got a ratchet set. I've got screwdrivers. And most tools that people have, I haven't heard, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's an oversight. I haven't seen the machete. Why is this important? Well, see, the police union, they're protesting the firing of the officers, Timothy Lohman and Frank Garnback, for the shooting of 12-year-old Tamir Rice at the rec center in 2004 as he held a pellet gun. Now, they were fired, not because they killed Tamir Rice, but actually because of inaccuracies on the job application. Lohman was fired for inaccuracies on the job application, and Garnback was suspended for violating a technical rule over his driving. Not that they killed a 12-year-old, granted, with a pellet gun, was for inaccuracies on his job application. It just came up just last week. Apparently, it's like, what? He had an inaccuracy on his job. Oh, we got to get rid of his ass. Got to go. We can't have that. We can't have officers with inaccuracies on their job applications. It looks bad for us. Oh, he killed a little 12-year-old, too. That was a side note. Violating the tactical rule over driving too, that'll get you fired. The 12-year-old boy, man, it's problematic. They did that too. I don't know. It's crazy. The value of Tamir's life is so low that you couldn't fire them for that. You have to find bullshit reasons, because an inaccuracy on the application is more important than a black boy's life. Picture that. And on that note, I'm Mr. F the N-Word. This is another Smooth Drama production. And I am out. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hair.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth.
Drama.